Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cancela, and we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, and our shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio and also on iTunes, so check that out, Truth Be Told Radio, and we have a website at truthbetoldradio.com, and we're going to get right into what we're doing the past week. It's from Fox Book of Martyrs. And this is Chapter 6, Part 5. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Chapter 6, Part 5 of Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Andrew Coleman. Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1, by John Fox, edited by William Byron Forbush. Chapter 6, A Narrative of the Piedmontese War, Part 5. Further persecutions in the valleys of Piedmont in the 17th century. Giovanni Palancion, for refusing to turn papist, was tied by one leg to the tail of a mule and dragged through the streets of Lucerne, amidst the acclamations of an inhuman mob who kept stoning him and crying out, "He is possessed with the devil, so that neither stoning nor dragging him through the streets will kill him, for the devil keeps him alive." They then took him to the riverside, chopped off his head, and left that and his body unburied upon the bank of the stream. Magdalene, the daughter of Peter Fontaine, a beautiful child of 10 years of age, was ravished and murdered by the soldiers. Another girl of about the same age they roasted alive at Villanova, and a poor woman, hearing that the soldiers were coming toward her house, snatched up the cradle in which her infant son was asleep and fled toward the woods. The soldiers, however, saw and pursued her. When she lightened herself by putting down the cradle and child, which the soldiers no sooner came to, than they murdered the infant, and continuing the pursuit, found the mother in a cave, where they first ravished, and then cut her to pieces. Jacob Michelino, chief elder of the Church of Bobbio, and several other Protestants, were hung up by means of hooks fixed in their bellies, and left to expire in the most excruciating tortures. Giovanni Rastagnal, a venerable Protestant, upwards of 80 years of age, had his nose and ears cut off, and slices cut from the fleshy parts of his body, until he bled to death. 7 persons, viz. Daniel Ciliaggio and his wife, Giovanni Durant, Lodwich Durant, Bartholomew Durant, Daniel Revel, and Paul Reynaud, had their mouths stuffed with gunpowder, which being set fire to, their heads were blown to pieces. Jacob Bironi, a schoolmaster of Rorata, for refusing to change his religion, was stripped quite naked, and after having been very indecently exposed, had the nails of his toes and fingers torn off with red-hot pincers, and holes bored through his hands with the point of a dagger. He then had a cord tied round his middle, and was led through the streets with a soldier on each side of him. At every turning, the soldier on his right-hand side cut a gash in his flesh, and the soldier on his left-hand side struck him with a bludgeon, both saying at the same instant, "Will you go to Mass? Will you go to Mass?" He still replied in the negative to these interrogatories, and being at length taken to the bridge, they cut off his head on the balustrades, and threw both that and his body into the river. Paul Garnier, a very pious Protestant, had his eyes put out, was then flayed alive, and being divided into four parts, his quarters were placed on four of the principal houses of Lucerne. He bore all his sufferings with the most exemplary patience, praised God as long as he could speak, and plainly evinced what confidence and resignation a good conscience can inspire. Daniel Cardon, of Rocapiata, being apprehended by some soldiers, they cut his head off, and having fried his brains, ate them. Two poor old blind women of St. Giovanni were burnt alive, and a widow of La Torre, with her daughter, were driven into the river, and there stoned to death. Paul Giles, on attempting to run away from some soldiers, was shot in the neck. They then slit his nose, sliced his chin, stabbed him, and gave his carcass to the dogs. Some of the Irish troops, having taken 11 men of Garcigliana prisoners, they made a furnace red-hot, and forced them to push each other in until they came to the last man, whom they pushed in themselves. Michael Gonnet, a man of 90, was burnt to death. Baptista Udry, another old man, was stabbed, and Bartholomew Frasher had holes made in his heels through which ropes were put. Then he was dragged by them to the jail, where his wounds mortified and killed him. Magdalene de la Pierre, being pursued by some of the soldiers and taken, was thrown down a precipice and dashed to pieces. Margaret Ravella and Mary Pravelerin, two very old women, were burnt alive, and Michael Bellino, with Anne Bachardino, were beheaded. The son and the daughter of a councillor of Giovanni were rolled down a steep hill together, and suffered to perish in a deep pit at the bottom. A tradesman's family, viz. Himself, his wife, and an infant in her arms, were cast from a rock and dashed to pieces, and Joseph Cherry and Paul Carniero were flayed alive. Cipriano Bustia, being asked if he would renounce his religion and turn Roman Catholic, replied, "I would rather renounce life or turn dog," to which a priest answered, "For that expression you shall both renounce life and be given to the dogs." They accordingly dragged him to prison, where he continued a considerable time without food until he was famished, after which they threw his corpse into the street before the prison, and it was devoured by dogs in the most shocking manner. Margaret Serretta was stoned to death and then thrown into the river. Antonio Bartina had his head cleft asunder, and Joseph Pont was cut through the middle of his body. Daniel Maria and his whole family, being ill of a fever, several papist ruffians broke into his house, telling him they were practical physicians, and would give them all present ease, which they did by knocking the whole family on the head. Three infant children of a Protestant, named Peter Fine, were covered with snow and stifled. An elderly widow, named Judith, was beheaded, and a beautiful young woman was stripped naked and had a stake driven through her body, of which she expired. Lucy, the wife of Peter Besson, a woman far gone in her pregnancy, who lived in one of the villages of the Piedmontese valleys, determined, if possible, to escape from such dreadful scenes as everywhere surrounded her. She accordingly took two young children, one in each hand, and set off towards the Alps. But on the third day of the journey, she was taken in labour among the mountains, and delivered of an infant, who perished through the extreme inclemency of the weather, as did the two other children. for all three were found dead by her, and herself just expiring, by the person to whom she related the above particulars. Francis Grolle, the son of a clergyman, had his flesh slowly cut from his body into small pieces and put into a dish before him. Two of his children were minced before his sight, and his wife was fastened to a post that she might behold all these cruelties practised on her husband and offspring. The tormentors at length, being tired of exercising their cruelties, cut off the heads of both husband and wife, and then gave the flesh of the whole family to the dogs. The Sieur Thomas Marger fled to a cave when the soldiers shut up the mouth, and he perished with famine. Judith Revelin and seven children were barbarously murdered in their beds, and a widow of near 80 years of age was hewn to pieces by soldiers. Jacob Rosino was ordered to pray to the saints, which he absolutely refused to do. Some of the soldiers beat him violently with bludgeons to make him comply, but he still refusing, several of them fired at him, and lodged a great many balls in his body. As he was almost expiring, they cried to him, "Will you call upon the saints? Will you pray to the saints?" To which he answered, "No, no, no," when one of the soldiers, with a broadsword, clove his head asunder, and put an end to his sufferings in this world, for which, undoubtedly, he is gloriously rewarded in the next. A soldier, attempting to ravish a young woman named Susanna Gaquin, she made a stout resistance, and in the struggle pushed him over a precipice, when he was dashed to pieces by the fall. His comrades, instead of admiring the virtue of the young woman, and applauding her for so nobly defending her chastity, fell upon her with their swords, and cut her to pieces. Giovanni Pulhus, a poor peasant of La Torre, being apprehended as a Protestant by the soldiers, was ordered by the Marquis of Pianesta to be executed in a place near the convent. When he came to the gallows, several monks attended, and did all they could to persuade him to renounce his religion. But he told them he never would embrace idolatry, and that he was happy at being thought worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. They then put him in mind of what his wife and children, who depended upon his labour, would suffer after his decease, to which he replied, "I would have my wife and children, as well as myself, to consider their souls more than their bodies, and the next world before this. And with respect to the distress I may leave them in, God is merciful, and will provide for them while they are worthy of his protection." Finding the inflexibility of this poor man, the monks cried, "Turn him off! Turn him off!" which the executioner did almost immediately, and the body being afterward cut down, was flung into the river. Paul Clement, an elder of the Church of Rossana, being apprehended by the monks of a neighbouring monastery, was carried to the marketplace of that town, where some Protestants had just been executed by the soldiers. He was shown the dead bodies, in order that the sight might intimidate him. On beholding the shocking subjects, he said calmly, "You may kill the body, but you cannot prejudice the soul of a true believer. But with respect to the dreadful spectacles which you have here shown me, you may rest assured that God's vengeance will overtake the murderers of those poor people, and punish them for the innocent blood they have spilt." The monks were so exasperated at this reply that they ordered him to be hanged directly, and while he was hanging, the soldiers amused themselves in standing at a distance and shooting at the body as at a mark. Daniel Rambo, of Villario, the father of a numerous family, was apprehended, and with several others committed to prison in the jail of Pisana. Here he was visited by several priests, who with continual importunities did all they could to persuade him to renounce the Protestant religion and turn papist. But this he peremptorily refused, and the priests, finding his resolution, pretended to pity his numerous family, and told him that he might yet have his life if he would subscribe to the belief of the following articles. 1. the real presence of the host. 2. Transubstantiation. 3. Purgatory. 4. The Pope's infallibility. 5. That masses said for the dead will release souls from purgatory. 6. That praying to saints will procure the remission of sins. Monsieur Rambeau told the priests that neither his religion, his understanding, nor his conscience would suffer him to subscribe to any of the articles, for the following reasons. 1. That to believe the real presence in the host is a shocking union of both blasphemy and idolatry. 2. That to fancy the words of consecration perform what the papists call transubstantiation, by converting the wafer and wine into the real and identical body and blood of Christ, which was crucified, and which afterward ascended into heaven, is too gross an absurdity for even a child to believe, who has come to the least glimmering of reason, and that nothing but the most blind superstition could make the Roman Catholics put a confidence in anything so completely ridiculous. 3. That the doctrine of purgatory was more inconsistent and absurd than a fairy tale. 4. That the Pope's being infallible was an impossibility, and the Pope arrogantly laid claim to what could belong to God only as a perfect being. 5. That saying masses for the dead was ridiculous, and only meant to keep up a belief in the fable of purgatory, as the fate of all is finally decided on the departure of the soul from the body. 6. That praying to saints for the remission of sins is misplacing adoration, as the saints themselves have occasion for an intercessor in Christ. Therefore, as God only can pardon our errors, we ought to sue to him alone for pardon. The priests were so highly offended at Monsieur Rambeau's answers to the articles to which they would have had him subscribe, that they determined to shake his resolution by the most cruel method imaginable. They ordered one joint of his finger to be cut off every day until all his fingers were gone. They then proceeded in the same manner with his toes. Afterward, they alternately cut off daily a hand and a foot. But finding that he bore his sufferings with the most admirable patience, increased both in fortitude and resignation, and maintained his faith with steadfast resolution and unshaken constancy, they stabbed him to the heart, and then gave his body to be devoured by the dogs. Peter Gabriola, a Protestant gentleman of considerable eminence, being seized by a troop of soldiers, and refusing to renounce his religion, they hung a great number of little bags of gunpowder about his body, and then setting fire to them, blew him up. Antony, the son of Samuel Catieris, a poor dumb lad who was extremely inoffensive, was cut to pieces by a party of the troops. And soon after, the same ruffians entered the house of Peter Moneriat, and cut off the legs of the whole family, leaving them to bleed to death, as they were unable to assist themselves or to help each other. Daniel Benech, being apprehended, had his nose slit, his ears cut off, and was then divided into quarters, each quarter being hung upon a tree, and Mary Menino had her jawbones broke, and was then left to anguish till she was famished. Mary Palantion, a handsome widow belonging to the town of Ilario, was seized by a party of the Irish brigades, who, having beat her cruelly and ravished her, dragged her to a high bridge which crossed the river, and stripped her naked in a most indecent manner, hung her by the legs to the bridge, with her head downwards towards the water, and then going into boats, they fired at her until she expired. Mary Negrino, and her daughter, who was an idiot, were cut to pieces in the woods, and their bodies left to be devoured by wild beasts. Susanna Bales, a widow of Villario, was immured until she perished through hunger. And Susanna Calvio, running away from some soldiers and hiding herself in a barn, they set fire to the straw and burnt her. Paul Armand was hacked to pieces. A child named Daniel Bertino was burnt. Daniel Michelino had his tongue plucked out, and was left to perish in that condition. And Andrea Bertino, a very old man who was lame, was mangled in a most shocking manner, and at length had his belly ripped open, and his bowels carried about on the point of a halbert. Constantia Bellione, a Protestant lady, being apprehended on account of her faith, was asked by a priest if she would renounce the devil and go to Mass, to which she replied, "I was brought up in a religion by which I was always taught to renounce the devil, but should I comply with your desire and go to Mass, I should be sure to meet him there in a variety of shapes." The priest was highly incensed at what she said, and told her to recant, or she would suffer cruelly. The lady, however, boldly answered that she valued not any sufferings he could inflict, and in spite of all the torments he could invent, she would keep her conscience pure and her faith inviolate. The priest then ordered slices of her flesh to be cut off from several parts of her body, which cruelty she bore with the most singular patience, only saying to the priest, "What horrid and lasting torments will you suffer in hell for the trifling and temporary pains which I now endure?" Exasperated at this expression, and willing to stop her tongue, the priest ordered a file of musketeers to draw up and fire upon her, by which she was soon dispatched, and sealed her martyrdom with her blood. A young woman named Judith Mandon, for refusing to change her religion and embrace popery, was fastened to a stake, and sticks thrown at her from a distance, in the very same manner as that barbarous custom which was formerly practised on Shrove Tuesday, of shying at rocks, as it was termed. By this inhuman proceeding, the poor creature's limbs were beat and mangled in a terrible manner, and her brains were at last dashed out by one of the bludgeons. David Paglia and Paul Genre, attempting to escape to the Alps, with each his son, were pursued and overtaken by the soldiers in a large plain. Here they hunted them for their diversion, goading them with their swords, and making them run about until they dropped down with fatigue. When they found that their spirits were quite exhausted, and that they could not afford them any more barbarous sport by running, the soldiers hacked them to pieces, and left their mangled bodies on the spot. A young man of Bobbio, named Michael Grieve, was apprehended in the town of La Torre, and being led to the bridge, was thrown over into the river. As he could swim very well, he swam down the stream, thinking to escape, but the soldiers and the mob followed on both sides of the river, and kept stoning him, until receiving a blow on one of his temples, he was stunned, and consequently sunk, and was drowned. David Armand was ordered to lay his head down on a block, when a soldier with a large hammer beat out his brains. David Baradona, being apprehended at Villario, was carried to La Torre, where, refusing to renounce his religion, he was tormented by means of brimstone matches being tied between his fingers and toes and set fire to, and afterward by having his flesh plucked off with red-hot pincers until he expired. And Giovanni Barellina, with his wife, were thrown into a pool of stagnant water, and compelled, by means of pitchforks and stones, to duck down their heads until they were suffocated. A number of soldiers went to the house of Joseph Garniero, and before they entered, fired in at the window to give notice of their approach. A musket ball entered one of Mrs. Garniero's breasts as she was suckling an infant with the other. On finding their intentions, she begged hard that they would spare the life of the infant, which they promised to do, and sent it immediately to a Roman Catholic nurse. They then took the husband, and hanged him at his own door, and having shot the wife through the head, they left her body weltering in its blood, and her husband hanging on the gallows. Isaiah Mondon, an elderly man and a pious Protestant, fled from the merciless persecutors to a cleft in a rock, where he suffered the most dreadful hardships, for, In the midst of the winter, he was forced to lie on the bare stone, without any covering. His food was the roots he could scratch up near his miserable habitation, and the only way by which he could procure drink was to put snow in his mouth until it melted. Here, however, some of the inhuman soldiers found him, and after having beaten him unmercifully, they drove him towards Lucerne, goading him with the points of their swords. Being exceedingly weakened by his manner of living, and his spirits exhausted by the blows he had received, he fell down in the road. They again beat him to make him proceed, when on his knees he implored them to put him out of his misery by dispatching him. This they at last agreed to do, and one of them, stepping up to him, shot him through the head with a pistol, saying, "There, heretic, take thy request." Mary Revol, a worthy Protestant, received a shot in her back as she was walking along the street. She dropped down with a wound, but recovering sufficient strength, she raised herself upon her knees, and lifting her hands towards heaven, prayed in a most fervent manner to the Almighty, when a number of soldiers who were near at hand fired a whole volley of shot at her, many of which took effect, and put an end to her miseries in an instant. Several men, women, and children secreted themselves in a large cave, where they continued for some weeks in safety. It was the custom for two of the men to go when it was necessary, and by stealth procure provisions. These were, however, one day watched, by which the cave was discovered, and soon after a troop of Roman Catholics appeared before it. The papists that assembled upon this occasion were neighbours and intimate acquaintances of the Protestants in the cave, and some were even related to each other. The Protestants, therefore, came out and implored them, by the ties of hospitality, by the ties of blood, and as old acquaintances and neighbours, not to murder them. But superstition overcomes every sensation of nature and humanity, so that the papists, blinded by bigotry, told them they could not show any mercy to heretics, and therefore bade them prepare to die. Hearing this, and knowing the fatal obstinacy of the Roman Catholics, the Protestants all fell prostrate, lifted their hands and hearts to heaven, prayed with great sincerity and fervency, and then, bowing down, put their faces close to the ground, and patiently waited their fate, which was soon decided, for the papists fell upon them with unremitting fury, and having cut them to pieces, left the mangled bodies and limbs in the cave. Giovanni Salvaggio, passing by a Roman Catholic church, and not taking off his hat, was followed by some of the congregation, who fell upon and murdered him, and Jacob Barrel and his wife, having been taken prisoners by the Earl of St. Secondo, one of the Duke of Savoy's officers, he delivered them up to the soldiery, who cut off the woman's breasts and the man's nose, and then shot them both through the head. Anthony Guigo, a Protestant, of a wavering disposition, went to Periero with an intent to renounce his religion and embrace popery. This design he communicated to some priests, who highly commended it, and a day was fixed upon for his public recantation. In the meantime, Anthony grew fully sensible of his perfidy, and his conscience tormented him so much night and day that he determined not to recant, but to make his escape. This he effected, but being soon missed and pursued, he was taken. The troops on the way did all they could to bring him back to his design of recantation, but finding their endeavours ineffectual, they beat him violently on the road. When coming near a precipice, he took an opportunity of leaping down it, and was dashed to pieces. A Protestant gentleman, of considerable fortune at Bobbio, being nightly provoked by the insolence of a priest, retorted with great severity, and among other things said that the Pope was Antichrist, Mass idolatry, purgatory a farce, and absolution a cheat. To be revenged, the priest hired 5 desperate ruffians, who the same evening broke into the gentleman's house and seized upon him in a violent manner. The gentleman was terribly frightened, fell on his knees, and implored mercy, but the desperate ruffians dispatched him without the least hesitation. End of chapter 6, part 5. Recording by Andrew Coleman.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, sorry, Thursday delay. Next, we will be into a message, different themes that we play, like a word from word and a woman's after five real heart. And that was the part we were playing was Fox for Providers, chapter 6, part 5. And now we will take a break. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
So, what is the will of God for your life? Well, there may be some question about that, but one thing is for sure. It is always His will that you show respect for authority. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In 1 Peter 2:13 and 14, Peter says that we are to submit to the authority of kings and governors. Then in verse 15, he drives it right to the heart by saying, "For such is the will of God." That's pretty plain. It is God's will for you to submit to authority. The word for will here refers to a specific choice or volitional desire. It literally means to determine or choose. In other words, God has specifically determined that submission to authority is a mandatory requirement for humanity, including Christians. This is one aspect of God's will that you don't have to pray over. You don't have to seek additional counsel, and you don't have to wrestle over your decision. Listen, submission to authority is not an optional matter. It is a binding imperative, for this is the will of God. Now that the elections are over, you may be either happy or disappointed over who won. But regardless, you now have to accept the result and realize that it is God's will for you to respect the authority of the office. Whether you like your new president or vice president or other elected officials or not, obedience to their authority is not an option. It is the will of God. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, if you want to pray about something, pray that you will have a good attitude about submitting to authority.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word, including articles, books, and full-length podcasts by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over 2 decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
This is Truth Be Told Radio. And we're back, and I'm going to read from Ray Comfort Bible. It's called Atheist Central. That's at raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. And this one is from Friday, May 28th, 2010. It says, we're all children of God. That's the title of it. The world often says that we are all children of God. Not matter what race, color, or creed. That sounds virtuous, but it's not what the Bible teaches. While we are all made in God's image with a moral compass that sets us apart from the animal kingdom, the Bible makes it clear that we are not his children. Rather, we are called children of wrath. See Ephesians 2:3. This is because we have a nature that is hostile to God. See Romans 8:7. Jesus told the religious leaders of his time that the devil was their father. You are of the father, the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 4:44. We are only children of God when we are born of his spirit. See John 3:3. And it is then and only then that we can call God Father. See Romans 8:15. When that happens, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us and we are the children of God. See Romans 8:16. And that's the end of from Atheist Central. And that's at raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And now I will play, let's see, the rest, chapter from, a section from Fox Book of Martyrs, chapter 6, part 6. And here's the Truth Be Told Radio. We have a website also at truthbetoldradio.com and also a page on Facebook. So check us out there. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrola, and thanks for listening.
Chapter 6, Part 6 of Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Preston McConkie. Fox's Book of Martyrs, Volume 1 by John Fox. Edited by William Byron Forbush. Chapter 6, A Narrative of the Piedmontese War, Part 6. A Narrative of the Piedmontese War. The massacres and murders already mentioned to have been committed in the valleys of Piedmont nearly depopulated most of the towns and villages. One place only had not been assaulted, and that was owing to the difficulty of approaching it. This was the little commonalty of Roris, which was situated upon a rock.
Was, I guess, that's it. Let's see. was in this conceit. Thing, because it's supposed to be 6 minutes, 46 seconds. So, I guess you have to listen to that part. If you can't, that's on, well, I'll try to get that uploaded for you, but I guess for now, I will play, let's see. Play this.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Look at how Scripture exalts the gospel. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. The gospel that you and I have been commanded to preach is called the everlasting gospel. Think of it. You have the incredible privilege of preaching the everlasting gospel in the last days. What an honor to preach Christ crucified. Let it sink into your mind. God has given you words of everlasting life to give to dying sinners. The Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Oh, he's so adorable.
He's got your eyes, honey.
Oh.
Come on, walk to Mommy, Trevor. Come on.
Here you go.
Look, how is he doing it?
I see him. Come here, big guy.
Well, we got to keep working on it. Come on, Trevor.
You can do it, son. Keep your eye on the ball.
Get a home run.
Coming up on the stoplight. Now don't forget your brakes, son. Son. Son!
Do you, Trevor, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
I'll never see him grow up. Why was I so blind?
Abortion. The great heartbreak of our day. The Bible has the answers to our culture's biggest needs. To learn more, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Look at how Scripture exalts the gospel. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. The gospel that you and I have been commanded to preach is called the everlasting gospel. Think of it. You have the incredible privilege of preaching the everlasting gospel in the last days. What an honor to preach Christ crucified. Let it sink into your mind. God has given you words of everlasting life to give to dying sinners. The Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
He's listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
It's not just about the manger, where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels.
Find out more about them at GoFishGuys.com, GoFishGuys.com. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio, and you can find out more about us at TruthBeToldRadio.com. And next, we will play a break, and we'll be back with a clip from Living Waters University, and it's featuring a lady named Melissa, which is funny. That's my name, too. And you listen to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Look at how Scripture exalts the gospel. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. The gospel that you and I have been commanded to preach is called the everlasting gospel. Think of it. You have the incredible privilege of preaching the everlasting gospel in the last days. What an honor to preach Christ crucified. Let it sink into your mind. God has given you words of everlasting life to give to dying sinners. The Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
I never have time to read. But when I do, give me a good novel, a mug of hot chocolate, and I'm in my sweet spot.
What's not to like about that? This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Novels are great entertainment, but if you want to grow spiritually, some of that reading time has to be spent in God's Word. That's what will cause you to view life and circumstances through a lens of truth. When you read God's Word, you tune in to God's mind and His teaching. Romans 12:2 says the Word of God renews your mind. It transforms your mind, your thoughts. So let me ask you this. Is what you're thinking today, even right now, because of exposure to media that's all around you, or from God's Word? There's nothing, nothing that can renew our minds like God's Word. This is Elizabeth George.
You're listening on Truth Be Told Radio.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says that we wrestle against dark demonic forces and that we are to stand against them fully clothed for battle. We are to wear truth. When deceit enters, so does the devil. We give place to the devil when truth leaves. We're also to wear the breastplate of righteousness and to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith.
Most Christians do that. However, many ignore that we're told to have our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we prepare our feet for battle? We pray. Pray particularly about the lost. We pray for wisdom, for the words that will turn them from the path that's taken them to hell. And we put legs to our prayers and go and seek them.
There goes another minute. Gone. Forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
You're saying the Truth Be Told Radio. And we are trying to get the Holy Water University uploaded. The clip I talked about earlier, talking to Melissa. But for now, I will go to The Long Man Chronicles. That's a blog by Tony Lionel. and he also helped do the Investors Alliance, which is a teaching thing that's done by Living Waters, and to teach people how to do the gospel, preach open air, and also one-to-one. And that's when you talk to individuals in person, like it says, one-to-one. And all those, they teach them every year for a few months out of the year, like probably about 6 months out of the year. But this year, it has been filled up already. But if you want to try next year, you could check that out, Investors Alliance. But this is, like I said, the Long and Proud Coast. This is Tony Mayano's blog. And I am going to read a spot from there. Let's see. Gonna do this one. It says, "A moment from grace." These are individual posting inspired Tony Mayano, so I'm reading it as if he's as he wrote it. And here the title says, "A Moment of Grace." Like every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, my family and I have faced many trials during the last 6 months, some as difficult as we have ever faced. Just this afternoon, Maria suggested I start to journal those moments in time, moments of grace, when the Lord, who is always faithful, allows us to see his faithfulness in the midst of our trials. Maria, that's his wife. Philippians 4:8 is the verse that is my motivation for the journal. I started the journal shortly before dinner. After dinner, I decided to take out my cross to the street corner where I started this aspect of my evangelism. He uses a cross, a big wooden cross that says, "Are you ready?" on it, to get people's attention to talk about the gospel. And here it says, "If you are new to this blog, you can read part one and part two," has links to that, "and of the cross became a part of how the cross became part of my ministry. It has been months since I've been on the corner of Avenida and Trana and Lyons Avenue with the cross. It was blessing to be on the first street corner again, and I was further blessed to have Michelle along with me." Michelle's his daughter. "We stood on the corner for about an hour, enjoying some wonderful daddy-daughter fellowship. I was afforded the opportunity to hand out a few tracts and to wave at all who either yelled in anger or waved and honked in an affirmation. It was getting dark, and we were about to head home when I saw a young man on a motocross bike across the street. The light changed and he rode toward us. He was wearing a dark plaid shirt, dark rimmed glasses, and appeared to be a brand new Yankees, what appeared to be a brand new Yankees baseball cap. Every Yankees fan gets $1 million tonight," I said as I handed him a track. "So how have you been?" he asked. "Do you remember me? What's your name?" "Walter." "Oh, hi, Walter. You were here with your cross last August when two of my friends and I came up to you. You talked to me for an hour. I remember. So how are you doing?" "Much better. You see, not long after you talked to me, Jesus Christ found me and saved me." "Really? How did it happen?" When you talked to me last August, I was in a pretty bad place. I was running around with the wrong so-called friends. I was always angry, always in a bad mood. My family was evicted from our house. I got kicked out of every school in the district, and I eventually dropped out. I thought about our conversation. You gave me a Bible, and one day not long after we talked, I walked into church down on 15th Street in Walnut. The Baptist church, I asked? Yeah, and there's a Spanish congregation there too. Walter continues. I realized that I need Christ, and he changed my life. People told me before that I need therapy and I needed a psychologist. Not anymore. All I need is Christ. So are you telling me that you have repented of your sin and have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Repentance, that means the term for your sins and decide not to sin anymore. Yes, he saved me. He did it in his timing. Praise God, I said. And whenever I share my story with people, I start by telling them about the day I talked to the man on the corner with the cross. Walter, it's been months since I've been on this corner. I know I come by here a lot, and I always say to myself, I wonder what happened to the guy on the cross. Walter, you made my day. Walter extended his hand. Instead of taking his hand, I put my arms around him. Walter, I thank God, and I can now call you brother. We talked for about 30 minutes. Walter shared that he was able to get back in school and graduate in December. He now has a job at a local bike shop. He was on his way to a home Bible study when he saw us on the corner. Walter's new passion in life is sharing his faith in Christ and other young people in the neighborhood, people with whom he used to roam the streets. Today he walks those streets looking for people with whom he can share the gospel. It was time to say goodbye, and Walter made his way across the street. Michelle and I marveled and rejoiced in what we saw the Lord do. We praised him and thanked him all the way home. It was a moment of grace. And that was from Tony Maiano's blog. It's called The Law of Man Chronicles .blogspot.com. The Law of Man Chronicles .blogspot.com. Well, I mean, that's the website address. It's the actual name is just The Law of Man Chronicles. And he works with Living Waters, and that's a ministry with Ray Comfort, and also Kurt Cameron. He used to be with on the show Growing Pains. He helps out too. Actually, they're both kind of a ministry together, Living Waters and Lay the Master. And they also have shows that teach people about witnessing, like talking about the gospel. And if you can, you should check out their teaching called Hell's Best Kept Secret and True or False Conversion on LadyOfWaters.com. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Now I'm going to take a break. And here we go.
So, what is the will of God for your life? Well, there may be some question about that, but one thing is for sure. It is always His will that you show respect for authority. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In 1 Peter 2:13 and 14, Peter says that we are to submit to the authority of kings and governors. Then in verse 15, he drives it right to the heart by saying, "For such is the will of God." That's pretty plain. It is God's will for you to submit to authority. The word for will here refers to a specific choice or volitional desire. It literally means to determine or choose. In other words, God has specifically determined that submission to authority is a mandatory requirement for humanity, including Christians. This is one aspect of God's will that you don't have to pray over. You don't have to seek additional counsel, and you don't have to wrestle over your decision. Listen, submission to authority is not an optional matter. It is a binding imperative, for this is the will of God. Now that the elections are over, you may be either happy or disappointed over who won. But regardless, you now have to accept the result and realize that it is God's will for you to respect the authority of the office. Whether you like your new president or vice president or other elected officials or not, obedience to their authority is not an option. It is the will of God. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, if you want to pray about something, pray that you will have a good attitude about submitting to authority.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word, including articles, books, and full-length podcasts by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
What provokes you to worship? Is it the sight of the Grand Canyon or great planets? How about something closer? You can study the genius of God's hand and studying your hand. Look at the palm of your right hand. Study the lines, the unique fingerprints, the way it was created to take a strong grip or touch with tenderness. Think of the nerves of living skin that allow you to feel warmth, or the blood that constantly flows through your hands. Look at the rigid nails that grow at prearranged curves, and all this was made from food you've eaten, and all that food traces itself back to the soil. God is so great, so wonderful, magnificent, so glorious, and when words can't express our thoughts of Him, worship takes over. Okay, stop staring at your hand, because there goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
One of the key ingredients of life is people, and people take time. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. People take time, and so do friendships. Think of it like this. Every person who crosses your path may be a friend sent by God. And whether or not they do become friends, each of them has a needy soul, needy for something. For some, maybe it's just a smile. For others, a hug, a kind word. For someone closer, a listening heart and a prayer over the phone. You and I need to manage our time and lives, our priorities, to find that balance, to have friends. Jesus said He was a friend to sinners, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In whatever stage of life you're in right now, don't neglect having a friend and being a friend. This is Elizabeth George.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo. A small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
Houston, Truth Be Told Radio.
breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please, please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed books. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free books, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the books reviewed may actually be by actual Christian authors. Also, to participate as being a volunteer book reviewer for Truth Be Told Radio, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you're selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you are a good candidate to be a Truth Be Told Radio book reviewer, write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
This young lady is named Melissa, and even though she initially is reluctant to open up her heart and talk about the things of God, she eventually admits that she has been studying religion. Now, what I love about this clip is that Ray keeps it so simple and so clear, dealing with arguments and rabbit trails, and leads her straight to the cross with no other option than to think about what she's heard.
Tell me, what do you think happens after someone dies?
You know what? I've never been it too sure. I was never so sure about the, you know, pearly gates. I don't believe that you just sit in the ground and rot either.
Do you think about it much?
No.
Are you afraid of dying?
No.
You've got no fear of death? Isn't there something in you that says, I don't want to die?
Well, sure. Who really wants to die, but who would really want to live forever?
I would. If you had cancer now, someone says you've got lymph node cancer and you've got 3 weeks to live, you would cry, oh God, I don't want to die, I want to live. It's your God-given will to live. And it's never happened to you, so you don't realize how strong it is. But of course you don't want to die.
Well, if I didn't really have a choice, some people don't really have a choice. Some people don't know where they're going to die. I mean, I would say to take full advantage of the time that you're given.
And how long have you got?
I don't know.
Could be tomorrow, couldn't it?
It could be.
When you don't know when you're going to go, you've got to find out the truth. Don't you think that's important? I mean, philosophies are interesting, but truth is where you should be heading.
Well, I don't think anything's certain in life or death.
Are you sure of that?
No.
Yeah. Well, that's just made your point. You can't even be certain of that point. Do you think there's a heaven?
Maybe not as described by certain different religions, but I think there is possibly something after death.
Do you think God exists?
A God, yes.
So what do you think God is like? Do you think he's good?
I believe in, you know, spirituality. Whatever gives somebody strength to do the right thing, as far as the Bible and everything is written in there, I think there is very good moral standards for somebody to live by, as far as all that power being put in, you know, somebody with a particular name. I can't necessarily agree with that, but I definitely think that I'm a spiritual person.
Are you a good person?
Well, yeah.
So if there's a heaven, you're going to make it?
Possibly.
How many lies have you told in your life?
A lot.
So what do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything in your life, irrespective of its value?
Yes.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
That's called blasphemy. It's very serious. Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked with someone at lust, with lust?
Yes.
Okay. Melissa, by your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So we've looked at four of the Ten Commandments. If God judges you by those commandments on Judgment Day, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty in the past, but redeeming myself. I've learned from those mistakes.
Try that in a court of law. Say, Judge, I robbed that bank and then I raped that woman, but I'm learning from my mistakes and I'll be better in the future. The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? If you violated the law, you've got to be punished. So if you're guilty, would you go to heaven or hell?
Well, that's a judge, not God.
Yeah, and God is even more righteous than a human judge. It's got fallibilities. God is perfect and holy and righteous. And if we die in our sins, Melissa, and God gives us justice, we'd end up in hell. Because God's going to do what's right and good on the day of judgment. It's only right he should punish a murderer, isn't it? It's only right he should punish a rapist. But he's so good he's going to punish thieves and liars and fornicators and adulterers and blasphemers. He's going to be very thorough on judgment day. Do you know what God did for sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
The Bible says that he died.
Died on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that?
Yes, I do.
Do you understand it? Do you understand what happened, that it was a legal transaction?
Didn't the Jews persecute their own?
Yeah, but God was in Christ, bringing the world back to himself, making a way for you to live forever through the Messiah. Let me share very quickly what he did. God's a judge.
Yeah, I actually really got to get back to this. I don't have
1 minute.
That was a couple of minutes.
1 minute. God's a judge. You and I are guilty criminals. Jesus came and paid our fine. That means God can legally dismiss our case. Melissa, God can let you live forever. He can forgive every sin you've ever committed if you repent and trust in him who died for you. He offers you everlasting life. This is not some religious thing. This is your eternal salvation. So please think about it. I know you've got more pressing things on your mind, but you don't know when you're going to die, if it's tomorrow, if it's the next day, if it's next week, then when it is. This is so important, okay? So will you think about this? That's all I'm asking. Just think about it. This is your salvation.
Well, I'm always open.
You're always open, so you will think about it.
I will.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Please read it. Do you have a Christian background?
Off and on.
Off and on. Okay. So make...
I'm doing research into different religions.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Finding my own way.
Well, keep your heart open for God's way, okay? Because that's what we're talking about today. Hey, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
Learn how to share your faith biblically through the online school of biblical evangelism.
According to Dr. Bill Bright, only 2% of the contemporary church regularly share their faith with others. And many hold back because they're afraid they won't be able to defend the faith.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
Join the School of Biblical Evangelism today. You'll be forever glad you did.
That was from Living Waters University. It's not like actual school. It's like it's clips on YouTube that they use to teach people about evangelism. And to see that on YouTube, like I said, it's from Living Waters and called Living Waters University. And that was talking to Melissa and by Ray Comfort. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. You can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And thanks for listening. and we will be taking a break.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
Oh,
hey, so adorable.
He's got your eyes, honey.
Oh.
Come on, walk to Mommy, Trevor. Come on.
Here you go.
Look, how is he doing it?
Oh, I see him. Come here, big guy.
Well, we got to keep working on it. Come on, Trevor.
Do it, son. Keep your eye on the ball.
Get a home run.
Coming up on the stoplight. Now, don't forget your brakes, son. Son. Son?
Do you, Trevor, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
I'll never see him grow up. Why was I so blind?
Abortion, the great heartbreak of our day. The Bible has the answers to our culture's biggest needs. To learn more, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says that we wrestle against dark demonic forces and that we are to stand against them fully clothed for battle. We are to wear truth. When deceit enters, so does the devil. We give place to the devil when truth leaves. We're also to wear the breastplate of righteousness and to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith.
Most Christians do that. However, many ignore that we're told to have our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we prepare our feet for battle? We pray. Pray particularly about the lost. We pray for wisdom, for the words that will turn them from the path that's taken them to hell, and we put legs to our prayers and go and seek them.
There goes another minute. Gone. Forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed products. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free products, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the products reviewed may be correct theologically. Also, to participate as a Truth Be Told Radio product reviewer, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you are selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you're a good candidate for this position, please write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
So, what is the will of God for your life? Well, there may be some question about that, but one thing is for sure, it is always His will that you show respect for authority. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In 1 Peter 2:13 and 14, Peter says that we are to submit to the authority of kings and governors. Then in verse 15, he drives it right to the heart by saying, "For such is the will of God." That's pretty plain. It is God's will for you to submit to authority. The word for will here refers to a specific choice or volitional desire. It literally means to determine or choose. In other words, God has specifically determined that submission to authority is a mandatory requirement for humanity, including Christians. This is one aspect of God's will that you don't have to pray over. You don't have to seek additional counsel, and you don't have to wrestle over your decision. Listen, submission to authority is not an optional matter. It is a binding imperative, for this is the will of God. Now that the elections are over, you may be either happy or disappointed over who won. But regardless, you now have to accept the result and realize that it is God's will for you to respect the authority of the office. Whether you like your new president or vice president or other elected officials or not, obedience to their authority is not an option. It is the will of God. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, if you want to pray about something, pray that you will have a good attitude about submitting to authority.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. Our website at awordfromtheword.org features a wealth of free resources to help you understand God's Word, including articles, books, and full-length podcast by Dan Hayden. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
One of the key ingredients of life is people, and people take time. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. People take time. And so do friendships. Think of it like this. Every person who crosses your path may be a friend sent by God. And whether or not they do become friends, Each of them has a needy soul, needy for something. For some, maybe it's just a smile. For others, a hug, a kind word. For someone closer, a listening heart and a prayer over the phone. You and I need to manage our time and lives, our priorities, to find that balance, to have friends. Jesus said he was a friend to sinners, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In whatever stage of life you're in right now, don't neglect having a friend and being a friend. This is Elizabeth George.
Yes, and truth be told, already.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Ms. Cantella. And you can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And I'm going to read another excerpt from Ray Comfort's blog. I'm trying to download another clip that I want to take, but taking a while to play. That's why I'm going to read more from Ray Comfort's blog. This one's an excerpt says from Thursday, May 27th, 2010, and it's titled, "How Do You Vote?" And I am reading it, so this is going to be coming from Ray Comfort's words. How do you vote? Happy humanist said, "Ray, I don't believe the Bible, but I do agree with your position on abortion. I think it is wrong and counterproductive for humans to kill members of their own species. However, there are many ways to kill children, child abuse, starvation, and other forms of deprivation. While abortion may get headlines, there are still thousands of children in the U.S. and elsewhere in the world who are slowly starving of malnutrition and who die from child abuse because of an overburdened and underfunded child welfare system. Welfare means just that, the welfare of human life. It looks simple when you go to the polls, just vote for a candidate whose party is against abortion. But what if that party is against the programs that take care of children after they are born? The choice may not be as simple as you think. It's a very simple matter for Christians to vote. This is because we have it written in stone that murder is morally wrong. Your problem is that you don't have an absolute guide. As to what is right and what is wrong. Your moral guidance is either what the government tells you or your subjective feelings. The best you can do is, I think it is wrong and counterproductive for humans to kill members of their own species. that is very dangerous because you have no basis for saying anything is morally right or wrong. It's just what you think. If someone could persuade you that it was productive to kill your own species because of overpopulation, not enough food to go around, you may just change your mind. And why not? The other animals kill each other off. Why don't we, for the good of the species? Here's the way you are thinking at present. You are in a polling booth thinking about two candidates. One oversees the mass murder of all three-year-old females. The other doesn't have any program to take care of them. You're confused. It's not clear to you whom you should vote for. Do you vote for the mass murderer or whose hands drip with blood of millions of children, or do you vote for a candidate who doesn't have a healthy social program? And that's the end of Ray Comfort's blog post about how do you vote. And that was from Thursday, May 2017, so you can see that again. You want to go at raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. And right now you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. You could also find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And if you want to hear any other shows that we have archived, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, or also on iTunes, you can subscribe to us to get our shows. They automatically post to Blog Talk Radio and also iTunes after they finish. And so just look for Truth Be Told Radio, and you can find those. Please download them and listen to other shows. And also, if you like it, please share it with others. And thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm going to take a break, and then I finally got the tip downloaded that I want to play. So I will take a break, and then we'll play that. Once again, thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
The Bible says that we wrestle against dark demonic forces, and that we are to stand against them fully clothed for battle. We are to wear truth. When deceit enters, so does the devil. We give place to the devil when truth leaves. We're also to wear the breastplate of righteousness, and to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith.
Most Christians do that. However, many ignore that we're told to have our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we prepare our feet for battle? We pray. Pray particularly about the lost. We pray for wisdom, for the words that will turn them from the path that's taken them to hell. And we put legs to our prayers and go and seek them.
There goes another minute. Gone. Forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
I never have time to read, but when I do, give me a good novel, a mug of hot chocolate, and I'm in my sweet spot.
What's not to like about that? This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Novels are great entertainment, but if you want to grow spiritually, some of that reading time has to be spent in God's Word. That's what will cause you to view life and circumstances through a lens of truth. When you read God's Word, you tune in to God's mind and His teaching. Romans 12:2 says the Word of God renews your mind. It transforms your mind, your thoughts. So let me ask you this. Is what you're thinking today, even right now, because of exposure to media that's all around you, or from God's Word? There's nothing, nothing that can renew our minds like God's Word. This is Elizabeth George.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And next I'm going to play some clips of John MacArthur. He's pastor, and to have been on their team several times, and I'm going to play some of the short clips of those. And thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Trying to get that to play.
That statement. Yes. Genetically, well, DNA, it's man and woman. It's just what the marriage and are we being semantic? So call it liberal union, call it gay.
In 1948, Larry, these were the same. There were not dissimilar arguments, not quite analogous, about the fact that races were put on separate continents around the world because God decreed that they shouldn't in any way, shape, or form procreate. And the point is, some of these arguments. Are increasing. I mean, they're just reminiscent. With respect to the pastor, I'm a practicing Catholic. I got married in the church 2+ years. I don't see what we're doing in terms of advancing the bond of love and monogamy and extending that to families of same sex, in any way, shape, or form, takes away anything from the church or the sanctity of the union that my wife and I have.
I would just like to ask the mayor, as a practicing Catholic, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?
Yeah, look, Pastor, I'm not going to get in a theological debate with you.
That's not a theological debate. That's just a straight question. Do you believe the Bible is the authoritative Word of God?
Yeah, I, with respect, I guess I do. Now the response.
Well, then the Bible says when God created man, he said one man, one woman, cleave together for life. That's a family. Jesus in the New Testament reaffirms that. All the writers of the Old and the New Testament affirm it. Adultery, bestiality, homosexuality was punishable by death according to the Old Testament law because it was so serious in those early years because it literally shattered the hope of civilization. The New Testament offers us, of course, grace. Those sins are sins. They are forgivable. Jesus died to redeem us from those sins. We're all sinners. You don't want to categorize
sin. Well, what does the state have to do with it?
But the point at this juncture is, well, he's representing the state. He's coming back and saying, I'm a Catholic, and somehow this fits into my Catholicism. And I'm saying, well, what's your authority then?
Well, you know what? I guess the bottom line is we're living and advancing together across all kinds of differences, Pastor. It is an extraordinary, miraculous thing to come out here in San Francisco. And I think the world looks to us to see that it's possible to live together and advance together across our differences. And I'm proud to represent a city that has diverse points of view, open points of view, that doesn't believe in discrimination, and has evolved from the old constructs that I think have frankly held back society, and many that are inconsistent, yes, with your faith, and I respect the difference of opinion.
Logan, Utah.
That's funny. It's that was a clip with John Carter, Larry King, and also the other person that was speaking on there was San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, and it's funny how he mentions evolution and shows you how evolution is enemy of Christianity. He's saying that basically he's saying like that Bible things are obsolete and evolving from, he said, the old things, but just because the old means bad, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's all from God, and it's this although that of course in the New Testament we don't like says not to kill people like that, but it's just like saying that there's things that God that his rules and commands and things there for a reason, and it's just funny that he said that. Like, it's like, oh, I would, it's like you could just might as well say, oh, let's evolve from not killing people or something like that. But just because it's from the Bible and God does it for a reason, good or bad, it's, God made things like Adam and Eve, man and woman, one husband, one wife, things like that. And it's just funny that how you just mentioned evolution, like I said, like if you go by, like, evolution, and stuff like survival of the fittest, that would mean, like, we would kill off people like children or something, or just, or if you're fitter, you know, just would silly. You need to have a moral standard of something that doesn't move. Because then if you don't, then you just go down separation, like, oh, yeah, this is wrong, but then what makes this other thing not wrong? And like I said, John MacArthur, talking with San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, and he says, he got also a truth on YouTube again. It's a clip. John MacArthur speaking on their King live show, and also here's another one. Let me see if I uploaded it. Yeah. It's John MacArthur speaking to Barry Lynn, and also, of course, Larry King Live. He's the host of the show. And let's see, get that up and going. I'll remind you, you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And also, we're on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is Truth. The letter B, Told Radio, Truth, the letter B, Told Radio. And then also my general that I check actually more is Bond Servant for JC, that's on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to get me, it's Melissa A. Canchola, and that's CANCHOLA, Melissa A. Canchola. And you can see that information on truthbetoldradio.com. And here's a clip, John MacArthur speaking of Barry Lynn on the Larry King live show. Like, we're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Did this come up on your show?
Well, of course, through the eyes of the people that we're talking to. But the question I have for the pastor and also for Barry is, then how do you explain? You talk about what should be, but how do you explain then the political power of the people who you say are misusing the religion? I think that you said that they're misinterpreting and misusing the religion. And yet they're the ones with the power, not you.
Yeah, and
good question.
Sure, it's a good question. And the power will never belong to me, and it will never belong to those who represent true biblical Christianity, because the kingdom advances one soul at a time through belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything else is a prostitution. Look, the New Testament says that the powers that be are ordained of God. That was the word of God to people living under Roman government, under a Caesar. Don't overthrow that power. That's what God has put in place. We work within that to advance the kingdom one person at a time.
Barry?
You see, now, I would disagree with that. That is a literal belief. Many of us do not have a literal belief in the words of the not God written and produced, but man written and produced Holy Bible for Christians.
Well, there's the huge divergence.
That's a huge
right there.
Difference. It is a huge divergence, but it's sure. One of the things that makes the Christian community and many of the other communities we're talking about here, very diverse and very different.
If you don't believe the words of the Bible, then you can't be legitimately called a Christian, because that's all the Christianity there is what is revealed in the Word of God, not the Christianity you can invent outside of the meaning of Scripture.
See, but here we go again, because some of us would look at, we're not having a Bible study tonight, but some of us could look at the idea. Well, maybe we should. The ongoing revelation of God to man. Why do people pray? Why do we pray if we assume that everything's known and known if we just read the Scriptures one more time? Many of us, particularly in more liberal Protestant denominations, believe that God is still speaking, and that's an important theological point. Some people believe there is no God to speak and never did speak.
Well, Christiane Amanpour, her special God.
With like I said, John Carter speaking the very end on the show Larry King Live. And right now you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And you can listen to our archives on Blog Talk Radio. And that's what we come on, Blog Talk Radio. And you can also hear them, also download them on on iTunes, and that's for free both ways. So I invite you to download our past shows and listen to them. And if you like our show, please tell others about it. Thank you. TruthBeTollRadio.com. And they can find us. And we're also on Facebook, like I said, and Twitter. And we will play next. Have a great. Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please. Please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo. A small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com. or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Look at how Scripture exalts the gospel. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth." The gospel that you and I have been commanded to preach is called the everlasting gospel. Think of it. You have the incredible privilege of preaching the everlasting gospel in the last days. What an honor to preach Christ crucified. Let it sink into your mind. God has given you words of everlasting life to give to dying sinners. The Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
The only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please, please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Truth Be Told Radio is a conservative Christian radio talk show that teaches and preaches from a biblical perspective. We're seeking Christians to read and review Christian-themed books. This will be on a volunteer, non-paid basis. Although not a paid position, the person may receive free books, possibly including the very ones that will be reviewed. This person must be familiar with the Way of the Master techniques and be active in evangelism using the Way of the Master techniques. The person applying for this position must be good with theology and good at discernment, especially in spotting heresy, because not all the books reviewed may actually be by actual Christian authors. Also, to participate as being a volunteer book reviewer for Truth Be Told Radio, you must be a clear speaker and writer. If you're selected, you will have to make at least one review live on air a month, but you may be asked to do as many as once a week. If you think you are a good candidate to be a Truth Be Told Radio book reviewer, write us at our website, truthbetoldradio.com. That's truthbetoldradio.com. Once again, truthbetoldradio.com.
I owe you one. That's what we say when someone has done something for us and we feel obligated to return the favor. But there are some things you could never repay, not in a million years. Hi, I'm Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Our word for today is ought. You find it in 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Ought. This word literally means to owe something, to be indebted. It's a word of obligation. And it's a verb in the present tense, meaning that the obligation is continual. It's not a one-time payment like an IOU, but a spirit of indebtedness that affects the entire way you live. There's an old chorus we used to sing. It was entitled, After All He's Done For Me. The words went like this. How can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely, after all he's done for me? You see, the obligation is not one of indebtedness, but one of appreciation and gratitude. We say, Lord, I want to show my appreciation to you. And he says, well, the thing that would please me the most is that you would help those that I love, even sacrifice yourself for their welfare. And so that's why we do it. We sacrifice ourselves for others, simply because we love the Lord, simply because we want to show our gratitude to him. So, after all he's done for you, you really ought to do that. You ought to lay down your life for the brethren. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, ought means ought. You really ought to do it.
A Word from the Word is a ministry of Sola Scriptura in Orlando, Florida. If you missed any part of this week's series or would like to hear it again, go to our website at awordfromtheword.org, where you will find this two-minute program and full-length messages by Dan Hayden.
Are you good enough to go to heaven? Let's see. Have you lied, stolen, blasphemed, or looked with lust, which God sees as adultery? If you have, then you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart. And if you are guilty, you will end up in hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and defeat death. You broke God's law, but Jesus paid your fine. God can now legally dismiss your case. Repent, trust in Jesus, and God will give you everlasting life. NeedGod.com.
That's our show. I'm Los Canchola. Check us out more, truthbetoldradio.com. And our archives, of course, on iTunes and also Laptop Radio, where we broadcast. And if you want to get your own show, in case you're listening to this, and you want to do one, Laptop Radio lets you do our shows. So check out laptopradio.com.
Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And don't forget to listen to us next time for more teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.